Warning: this program contains content that may not be suitable to some listeners. It contains decency, truth, ageless wisdom, a father who cares. It's Generations with Kevin Swanson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. I'm Executive Director of Christian Home Educators. I'm a pastor, but the reason I'm here today, I'm a father of five. And I'm raising my children in a day where we are witnessing a significant decline in education. Yes, education is failing in America. We are past the denial stage on this program, and it all began about 200 years ago with a man by the name of Jean-Jacques Rousseau. Of course, he is the father of modern education. Back in the 1760s, he wrote a book called Emile. It was a book on modern education, and this book was written about 20 years after he had his first child. And of course, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, when he had his first child, took the child away from the arms of his mother and that very day put it on the steps of an orphanage. He had five children. All five children he threw away. He took them to the steps of an orphanage and just deposited them there. You know, Jean-Jacques Rousseau never knew the genders of his children, but he did write the book on modern education, a book called Emile. The famous historian Durant writes on Rousseau and Revolution. Rousseau wanted a system of public instruction by the state. He prescribed many years with an unmarried tutor who would withdraw that child as much as possible from parents and relatives. You see, that has been the agenda of government statist education since Jean-Jacques Rousseau threw away his five children. It's a system of education that orphans children. It's a system of education that withdraws a child as early as possible, as much as possible, from parents and relatives. That was the beginning of the compulsory attendance laws. And of course, in America, the first compulsory attendance law was adopted in 1852. And that, folks, began the failure of modern education. The failure of education is a modern phenomena. It started in 1852 with the compulsory attendance law adopted in Massachusetts. And during the next 15 years, from 1852 onwards, no other state followed Massachusetts, but beginning in 1867, a steady stream of states began adopting compulsory attendance laws, and by 1918, all states had enacted compulsory attendance laws across America. Rousseau's vision came to pass in the United States of America. Now, there were some voices raised against the rising tide of compulsory attendance laws. Governor Patterson of Pennsylvania vetoed two compulsory attendance laws in 1891 and 1893 on the ground that they interfered with traditional parental liberties. In 1892, the national platform of the Democratic Party, yes, let me repeat that, the Democratic Party said, "We are opposed to state interference with parental rights and rights of conscience in the education of children." All right, the Democratic Party has changed a wee bit. You know, states across America have adopted a compulsory attendance law, and over the last 100 years, from 1887 until today, the average school term swelled from 130 days to 180 days. Rousseau's vision continues to come to pass. At the beginning, compulsory attendance laws typically began with the age 8. Today, in Colorado, it's 7 to 16. And right now, the Colorado legislature is doing everything they can to see Rousseau's agenda come to pass. They are increasing the compulsory attendance law in Colorado from 7 to 16 to 6 to 18. And that just passed the Colorado State Senate committee just a week or two ago by overwhelming enthusiasm from, of course, a Democrat-controlled legislature. Rousseau's vision marches on, folks. We have to withdraw that child as much as possible from parents and adult relatives. Folks, in just a moment, we're going to talk to Treon Gosin, who has been down at the Capitol fighting the good fight for the cause of liberty, parental rights, and all the rest, and actually the success of education. But the failure of education will march on as the Colorado State Senate does everything they can to wrest control of education away from parents and put it in the hands of bureaucrats. Folks, we'll be back in just a moment to talk to Treon Gosin and talk a little bit more about our agenda to abolish the compulsory attendance law from Western civilization. That next on Generations. Stay with us.
We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. The program is Generations. My name is Kevin Swanson. Son Daniel in studio with me today. And we're concerned. Ladies and gentlemen, we are concerned. The left is moving quickly in Colorado, and I know across America in many, many instances, to widen, to broaden the compulsory attendance law in the United States. And in Colorado, they are working to broaden it from 7 to 16. It's been that way for a number of decades. I don't know how long, but a long, long time. They are working to broaden it right now from 7 to 16 to 6 to 18. An incredible step towards, well, womb-to-tomb socialism in Colorado. With me on air right now is Treon Gosin, who is head of Concerned Parents of Colorado. She has been down at the Capitol for many weeks working at the legislature for the cause of freedom, for the cause of the family in the state of Colorado. Treon, welcome again to Generations.
Thank you, Kevin, for having me on the show.
Treon, we appreciate you so much for all that you do in our state here in Colorado. But why don't you status us? What in the world is going on at the legislature in Colorado?
Well, what we're seeing is what was predicted when the Democrats won a majority. We're seeing that all the agenda that they've had for the last number of years since their last majority, which they failed to move forward, we're seeing them just push them through. You know, shoving these things through committees, almost every issue that is for the family, that is for, you know, life, the sanctity of marriage, everything is dying on party line votes. And everything that we stand against is getting pushed through on party line votes. So it's very clear to see, you know, whose agenda this is.
Obviously, Treon, elections are important, really, really important. If you lose control of those state house committees or those Senate committees, you are going to be in trouble. Faith, family, and freedom will be in jeopardy, period.
That's correct, Kevin. And we're seeing that right now, just right in front of our eyes.
Well, let's talk about SB 73, which is the bill right now in the Colorado State Senate, which promises to increase, to widen, to broaden, to tyrannize families by broadening the compulsory attendance law here in Colorado. What happened to that bill?
Well, this bill was introduced in committee about 10 days ago. I was there. I was present for the testimony. I was the only person that did testify against this bill, which was, you know, it was a little disturbing, but to be expected. I mean, the reasons they want to put this bill through are the very reasons that have been proven it will not work. It's just an incredible thing. So what we're looking at here is the bill originally was just going to lower it 1 year and raise it 1 year. But in committee, Senator Tupa insisted. I mean, just was, I've never seen anyone that insistent that this be raised to 18. That he said that if we're going to do it, we're going to do it right. And they accepted it. So it was in committee that the age was raised 2 years instead of one.
Let me get this straight, Treon. It began by a move from 7 to 16 to 6 to 17, and then Senator Tupa jumped in and said, no, 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 we've got to tyrannize these families as much as possible. We have got to ruin education as much as we possibly can in the state of Colorado by widening the compulsory attendance law from 6 to 18.
That's correct, Kevin. Actually, the statements were is that children, they call them children, you know, in the system that were ages like 16 and 17, they don't understand what education is. I'm quoting the committee here. And they are not capable because of a mental deficiency, which they refer to in brain studies. They're not capable of making decisions like this, so the state must make them for them.
And certainly parents aren't capable of making any kind of decision at all because, hey, we got to take parents out of the equation. Everybody knows that has no impact whatsoever on the excellence of education, and yet it really does. That is the only thing that could possibly salvage education in the state of Colorado, but they're taking parents out of the equation, aren't they?
Yes, they are. You know, as a matter of fact, it's the message that kept coming forward, even though it wasn't said, you know, just verbatim, but the message was is that the state knows best what's for your family, and we know better than parents, because these parents are letting these kids drop out, so therefore we have to show these parents they're making a wrong choice. So we are going to step in and fix it for them. And the bill right now is in appropriations. We don't know the exact fiscal impact, because I don't know how they're going to be able to measure three more years in the public school. It will certainly hit our pocketbook, that's for sure. But there's no, the fiscal impact that's on the books right now is the second one, and it does not reflect the cost of the impact to the schools. It just reflects the cost to the judiciary because they're going to be faced with a lot more truancies.
Trion, I guess the real issue right now is the good guys are really getting trounced. And I think of Edmund Burke, that famous conservative who was always concerned with the abolition of liberties, which is happening in the United States of America and happening in Colorado. Edmund Burke said, the only way for evil to prevail is for good men to do nothing. Obviously, we've got to do something. What can we do?
Right now, we're waiting for this bill to be assigned to appropriations. And then there will be... we'll be putting out the information, you know, through check and also through concerned parents to make calls to the Appropriations Committee that this bill just simply needs to die. We'll be working at every stage that this bill is at. If it, this bill sponsor, Senator Tapia, is also the chairman of Appropriations. So we know we're going to be beating a dead horse there a little bit, but we're not going to stop. We will keep doing something, and we will be talking to the governor's office as well to see if we cannot get them to see and understand what this will be doing to the families of Colorado.
And let's not ignore the civil magistrate, folks. Civil government is important. It's an institution of God, and, of course, we need to be praying for this. That's biblical.
Oh, Kevin, I can't tell you how many times I've felt the prayers of people for me when I've been down there, and anyone who has been in that Capitol can sense the need for prayer.
Folks, you've heard it. That's Trion Gosin from Concerned Parents of Colorado. It's essential that we be in prayer for our leaders, especially for those that are God-fearing, righteous men that are standing up for the standard of God's law in our state government right now. And I think of men like Kevin Lundberg and Dave Schultheis. I'm sure there are many others. These are friends of mine. I know they fear God. I know them. And they are big time under attack right now. Dave, this is the battle of the 21st century. I tell you what, in the 1600s, it was the battle was the imposition of the state on the church, and it was doing everything it could. The government was doing everything it could in England to crush the living daylights out of the church, and that's why this nation was founded. Well, today in the 21st century, it's the state crushing the living daylights out of the family. It is doing everything it can possibly do to destroy the family, and in the process, it destroys education.
Well, education is the route to destroy the family. If you can separate the children from the parents, you can just separate your enemy, the family. You can actually break it up into little pieces and destroy it, because the family is not a family unless it's unified.
And that was Jean-Jacques Rousseau's agenda. Separate those kids from their parents as early as possible. He wrote the book on modern education in the 1760s after abandoning five of his children on the steps of an orphanage. And that has been the agenda of the left ever since. Get those children away from the parents. And in the process, destroy education. Now, I said that the compulsory attendance law was the beginning of the failure of education in modern society. And you know what, Dave? Our education system in America was doing great in the 1800s, prior to the compulsory attendance laws coming in the 1850s. Think about it. You had de Tocqueville writing on it. You had the famous study commissioned by President Thomas Jefferson.
Dana DuPont Moore, who went up and down the colonies and found out what the literacy rate was, one of the highest ever recorded in history.
So, what did the left do? Well, forget that. We're going to do compulsory attendance laws. We're going to destroy the family, and we're going to turn education unto the state, and that's what we have today.
Interestingly enough, the reason compulsory education laws were passed was to give education to those whose parents couldn't give it to them. So it was for a very small percentage that we passed laws that affected everybody, and of course it's destroyed the whole thing.
And with the increase of these draconian state regulations on education, the quality of education, what happens to it, Dave? It just gets worse and worse and worse. Illiteracy is far higher than it ever was at the founding of this nation. In fact, remember the study Stupid in America, or the program Stupid in America, John Stossel did on ABC News a while back. The longer these kids stay in school, the worse they do in international academic competitions. The longer they stay in public schools, the worse course they do. So, the solution that Senator Tupa offers in Colorado is get them in these public schools even longer. Let's just keep ruining these children.
Well, maybe Senator Tupa thinks if these people are in school longer and they're not as smart, maybe he'll have more voters for himself. I don't know, Kevin, but I know that one of the things that's driving this is the National Education Association, the teachers union. They are the most powerful lobby in all of government. They are tax supported because their money comes through teachers' salaries, which comes from our property tax. They are in perpetuity there to keep teachers employed, not to make education better. They're not there for the children. They're there for the education professionals. So if they can pass a law to keep your children in school three more years, that creates more jobs, more people contributing to the NEA, and it just snowballs and snowballs and snowballs. Until we get some kind of break of the monopoly of the NEA over education, we're not going to get an upper hand on this.
It's a horrific scam. You're right, Dave. And the children are the ones that lose. We have a bad education system. We have the destruction of the family legislated by the Senate education committees across America. And it's not just Colorado, folks. It's all over America. And the agenda of God-fearing, family-loving people has got to be to abolish the compulsory attendance laws. We've got to get rid of this. This is the camel's nose under the tent. This is the point of entry for the camel's nose. The compulsory attendance law is the most insidious law, I think, as it affecting the family in America.
Well, it's right up there with property tax and inheritance tax, but what it amounts to is part-time slavery for 11, 12 years of a child's life.
And again, the real problem here is it's a violation of biblical jurisdiction. It is the imposition of the state upon the family in this tyrannical fashion, and in the process, it destroys the family. God gave education and the choices for education to the family specifically. There is nothing in the Bible about education turned over to the state. That is called statism. That is called Marxism. That is called Rousseauian revolutionism. That is a bad worldview, and it destroys families, and it will destroy cultures, and it's destroying education, and it will destroy our civilization. That is the agenda of the left in America. God's agenda. God's agenda. Ladies and gentlemen, anybody is interested in listening to what God has to say. I know we've been listening to Marx for 150 years, but if you're interested in what God has to say, God says, parents, you teach your children, not the village, you teach your children God's word as you sit in your house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, and as you lie down. You don't teach your neighbor's children. You don't teach the village children. You teach your children. That's as clear as can be from Deuteronomy 6:7. The entire book of Proverbs is a father teaching his son, not his neighbor's son, his own son, an educational program of knowledge, instruction, discernment, wisdom, etc., etc., etc. That comes by way of a father. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, bring your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It is incredibly plain, that God puts the jurisdictional authority in the hands of fathers and mothers.
And Kevin, jurisdiction is only the first problem. Yes, they're violating jurisdiction. That's clear from the Bible. But the second is what they're teaching. That violates the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment, because education is necessarily religious. They're talking about truth, who you are. They're talking about anthropology. These are religious concepts that must be based in faith. Now, when they take a child and require that the state teach them what the state finds is good, they are establishing a humanistic religion contrary to the First Amendment. So not only do you have a breaking of jurisdiction, who's doing the education, but you have a violation of what they're teaching.
And Dave, Senator Tupa is driven by a worldview. He is driven by a statist, socialist worldview. He believes it, he lives it, and he legislates it. He wants to tyrannize because he is a Marxist. He is a socialist. That is where he gets his worldview. He doesn't get it from the Bible. He is driven by the worldview. He doesn't care, ultimately, about the educational consequences of his choices, of his legislation. Raising the compulsory attendance age does not reduce the dropout rate. In fact, two states with the highest high school completion rates are Maryland at 94.5% and North Dakota at 94.7%, and they compel attendance only to the age of 16. The state with the lowest completion rate, Oregon, at 75.4%, compels attendance to age 18. So obviously, the statistics show that his broadening the attendance laws aren't going to do any good. but they do violate the family's jurisdictional rights, and that's what he's after. That's what he wants.
I think what he's after is getting the NEA more teachers, more salary. I think that's what drives people like Senator Tupa. He owes allegiance to a particular union, and that is the teachers' union.
Ladies and gentlemen, we encourage you to encourage everybody else you know to abolish the compulsory attendance law in America. Restore liberty to family. Please restore liberty to family. We are the pilgrims of the 21st century. We are the ones who are standing for liberty. We are the ones who are reviving a vision for liberty in the Western world. Yes, there are many, many forces that hate liberty. They have from the beginning. Think about King George. Think about Queen Elizabeth. And think about King Charles I and King Charles II, they hated liberty and they fought against it. And so do the liberals today. So do the liberty-hating socialists and Marxists in our legislatures today. But there are a few people who stand for liberty and are standing for the abolishing of the compulsory attendance law and restoring freedom, choices, liberty to families. Let me encourage you to get my book, The Second Mayflower, which restores a vision of liberty for the Western world. I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower, as a book of hope for the kinds of principles upon which this nation was founded before Karl Marx, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and a few other people showed up. Get my book, The Second Mayflower, by calling 877-842-CHECK. That's 877-842-CHECK. Or you can find it at checkbooks.com on the web. You can interact with this program by emailing me, kevin@check.org. If you agree with us or you disagree with us, write to me at kevin@check.org. And you can hear the program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. Get your friends and family members involved at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we lay down a vision for the next generation.